The blacksmith is going to be busy. It takes white hot fire and strength to hammer metal, to transform weapons of war into tools. The blacksmith is going to be very busy. It takes practice, skill to convert swords into sharp plowshares that will turn the earth and enable the seed to be planted and grow. And we are going to be busy too. God is calling us to walk in the light, to consider our calling. It takes hope and determination to turn from the paths that lead to waste and destruction. It takes insight and courage to prune our lives from that which is harmful and walk in the ways of justice and peace. We wait for the day of God's coming, but there are some things that we do not need to wait for. We can walk in the light right now. We wait for the days of peace to come, but we do not need to wait to change our behaviour. It is time to turn around. We can choose as communities, we can choose as individuals to walk in God's ways today. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome on what is just a gorgeous, crisp December. Can you believe that? December morning. As we begin our journey towards Christmas Day on this first Sunday in Advent. The order of service has quite a lot of intimations, but I want to highlight a few of them to you. The first one was just to let you know that tomorrow evening at 6:30, there's some carol singing down along at the Cults Hotel. And myself and some of the other local clergy will be leading a carol concert there. And Fiona Kennedy will also be singing too. And there's soup and mince pies. And it's generally a really lovely time together at the beginning of December as the Christmas tree down there is lit. So if you're looking to get in the mood and looking for some early Christmas carols, then you'd be very welcome to join everyone along there. There is a suggestion you might want to take a torch with you. Carol sheets are supplied, but it's a wee bit dark, so if you want to take a torch so you can see your words, you'd be very, very, very welcome. Then on Wednesday evening here in the sanctuary, John Ferguson, colleague along at Peter Cooter, has organised a hustings for the general election, and it starts at 7 o'clock, but he is looking for some questions to ask the candidates. All the candidates for this constituency are going to be here. So have you any question you would like to ask them, John's email address is there in the order of service, or if you want to pass them on to me, I can pass them on to John in advance. But again, a warm welcome to anybody who'd like to come along to that. Next Saturday morning is the Christmas coffee morning, and I believe that singing waiters will be warming up their voices, ready to entertain. So that's next Saturday morning along at the Hub at 10 a.m. Also next weekend, things will be getting set up in the church for the Christmas Tree Festival, which begins on the 9th. And Anne has her clipboard to hand and is still looking for a few gaps in the rota for looking after the church when folk are coming in. So if you want to see Anne after the service, if you've got some time on the week of the 9th, then I'm sure she would be glad to hear from you. The rota is filling up, but there are still a few gaps there needing filled. And one thing I should point out, and this is my fault, and I apologise profusely for this, I haven't communicated properly. I've put 2 o'clock till 7 as the opening time for the Christmas Tree Festival, but I hadn't communicated that to anybody else other than myself. So everybody thinks it's at 1. So apologies for that, but the publicity material will all say from 2 till 7, and we'll stick with that. So if you can just bear that in mind. And then the last thing I want to highlight is that over the next two Saturdays, the choir, members of the choir, are going to be out at the Mains of Drum singing Christmas carols between 12 midday and 2. And they're inviting anybody who would like to go along and join in the singing to join them. You'd be very, very welcome. So that's Saturday the 7th and the 14th. And they will be collecting money during these times. For Christian Aid. So that's there. You will also have found in your order of service not just the prayer diary for the next month that Andrew has put his usual lots of effort into putting together for us, but another little sheet with just different ideas for you to think about during Advent. I know I've got my Advent calendar. Have you all got your Advent calendars? And did you open them this morning? I've not opened my one because my one's a cheese Advent calendar. Thanks to Emily. Where's Emily hiding now? She's up the back. Emily last year had a cheese one and I was most jealous and I went down to Sainsbury's to try and get one, but there were none left. So Emily kindly got me one this year. So it's in my fridge waiting for lunchtime when I can open my first little bit of cheese. So I was really looking forward to that. But anyway, there are lots of ideas for grown-ups in here that you might want to think about during Advent. One of the ones I'm hoping to do is to read my way through Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel very handily has 24 chapters in it, one for every day of Advent. And I thought I would take my nativity scene that I've got up in my study in the manse down and put it somewhere in my lounge and each day light a candle and then maybe sit and read a chapter of Luke's Gospel. And that will take you through from the very beginning of Jesus' earthly life to the end of his earthly life. And I thought that'd be a nice way to think about the real meaning of Christmas as we travel our way through. But anyway, lots of different ideas in here for you to have a little look at. And I think we'll leave that there just now and we'll get on with worship. Oh, the nearness of it all. The cusp, the brink, the fringe, the threshold, the unfolding, the rumour. The prophets have spoken and the time is now. Transformation of conflict to peace, shadows to light, individualism to community. Incarnation is slipping into skin. Let us gather on the mountain of the Lord with all who travel towards the light. We stand and sing the first of our hymns this morning, 281. People look east, the time is near. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of hopeful waiting, Spirit of justice and truth, Jesus, light of the world, as we close our eyes in prayer, shutting out the distractions around us, we ask for a visible word, a moving image that will speak to us of renewal and the possibility of change. In our mind's eye, we see a gleaming structure on a hilltop. We join the crowd of eager pilgrims surging towards it, serious, single-minded, all looking as we are for something more, something that is missing in the world below. Lost and confused, we come seeking wisdom and guidance. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. Ashamed of the lives we are living, knowing that something has gone badly wrong with our world and that we are part of the problem, we come to submit ourselves to your judgment. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. Aware of the conflicts within us that mirror the divisions in our families, our churches, and nations, saddened by the wars which beset our world, we seek your way of peace. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. We bring the sword of our certainty, the shield of our defensiveness, the spear of our aggression, all weapons of war to be surrendered and transformed into instruments of peace. Where the ground has been torn apart by explosives, may seeds of new life be sown and plants of kindness grow. Where children have been taught by adults how to fear, may a new lesson of love be learned. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. We have been stumbling around too long in the darkness. Light our way with the lamp of your truth. Warm us with the fire of your love as we set off gladly in this Advent season to walk in the light of the Lord. And Lord, hear us as we join our voices together in the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Whoops. Who likes a story? Do we like stories? Do we? Well, I like a story, and I've got a story I want to share with you. And what I'm going to do each Sunday in Advent is share a story with you. And the story I want to share with you today is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Have you heard this story before? Have you? Well, how about I'm going to sit here to tell the story, and would you guys want to come and join me up here so you can be comfortable? Yeah, as we have a wee story. How the Grinch. I have to confess that last night in the manse, we actually watched the film of this. Can I have a seat? Sit. That's good. You can just sit there. The How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And see if there's something in this story that we can learn about how we're meant to be during Advent and what Christmas is all about. You coming to join us as well? Look, your jumper matches my stole. Doesn't it? Yeah. Now, you're going to come over and sit over here. Come on, you can sit over here. And we'll share this story. That's very alike, isn't it? Look at that. There we go. See? Oh, good. That's very alike. Anyway, here's the story. Are you sitting comfortably? Are you all sitting comfortably? Okay. Right, so this is the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grungy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. for he knew every who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled, with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early, they'd rush for their toys. And then, oh the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated, the noise, noise, noise. Then the Who's young and old would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand and the Whos would start singing. And they'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop the whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now, I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do, the Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked, what a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like St. Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked around, but since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, then he took some red thread and tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, get up, and the sleigh started down towards the home where the Whos laid a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square, this is stop number one, said old Grinchy Claus hissed. The old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed on the roof, empty bag in his fist. Look, see, it's his little house. See the house? It's a funny little house. Anyway, then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. These stockings, he grinned, are the first things to go. He's not very nice, is he? Do you think he's not very nice, is he? No. Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room. He took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. And then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. And now, grinned the Grinch, I will stuff up the tree. And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove when he heard a small sound like a coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou Who, who's no more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter who got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why? But you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought up a lie and he thought it up quick. Why, my sweet little one, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here. And his fib fooled the child, that he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. When Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went up the chimney and stuffed the tree up. And then the last thing he took was the log from their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who mouses. It was 12:15, all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, their ribbons, their wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings and the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tiptoe to dump it. Pooh-hoo to the Who's, he said, gringingly humming. They'll find out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open for a minute or two. And then the Who's down in Whoville all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Gringe, that I must simply hear. So he paused and the Gringe put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, the sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so. It was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Gringe popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. What do you think he saw? What do you think he saw? Well, we'll carry on and find out. Every Who that was in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Gringe, with his Gringe feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Gringe thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe, he thought, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Gringe's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Gringe, carved the roast beef. That a great story. That fantastic. So what do you think the Gringe learned? What was the big thing that the Gringe learned? Did he learn that Christmas isn't all about presents and decorations and things? It was all actually about people being together. And there was much, much more to Christmas than all the glitter and the presents and the food and all the rest. It was actually more important for the people to come together and share time together. Because we know here in church that Christmas is all about... What's Christmas all about? It's all about baby Jesus being born, isn't it? And we do all the other things to celebrate that. But it's not about all those other things. And today, being the first Sunday in Advent, there's bound to be lots of parties and fun and games over the next few weeks, and that's all really, really great and really, really good fun. But Christmas Day itself is what it's really all about, and when we get to celebrate baby Jesus being born. And one of the things I like to think about in Advent is how we journey through Advent. We don't just go from today to Christmas Day and not do anything in between. We go on a bit of an Advent journey. And over the weeks in church, we think a bit more about that journey. And so we're going to sing a wee song. We're going to go on a wee march. We're going to be walking in the light of God. That's our song for this morning. So if you want to go and take your seats again, and I'll get my words so that I can help lead everybody. Thank you for listening to the story. Thank you. Hymn number 803, We Will Walk With God.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. That's on page 672 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amos, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up the hill of the Lord to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen, for the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us." The New Testament reading is Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. That's on page 201 of the New Testament section. Romans 13, verse 11. "You must do this because you know that the time has come for you to wake up from your sleep. For the moment when we will be saved is closer now than it was when we first believed. The night is nearly over. Day is almost here. Let us stop doing the things that belong to the dark, and let us take up weapons for fighting in the light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as people who live in the light of day. No orgies or drunkenness, no immorality or indecency, no fighting or jealousy. But take up the weapons of the Lord Jesus Christ and stop paying attention to your sinful nature and satisfying its desires." Amen.
Thank you, Bill. We now sing another Advent carol, 275, Come Now, O Prince of Peace. The word that came to the prophet was so vivid that he described himself as seeing rather than hearing it. It was like a video playing in front of his eyes, the crowds of people from every nation making their way up the steep hill to the temple in Jerusalem, hoping to receive wisdom and guidance from Israel's God, and willing to submit their lives to his judgment. The first thing they do when they come back down is to decommission all their weapons of war, making sure they can never again be used to maim and kill by converting them into farming implements. Oh, that it could have remained so. On this first Sunday in Advent, it is good to hear words of hope from Isaiah. And we'll be hearing more from Isaiah over the coming weeks. Today we think about that last phrase from our reading that Bill read to us, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us. But first some background reading for our reading from Isaiah. Isaiah's words were addressed to Jewish people, members of God's chosen nation, living in exile in Babylonia. Their fate, according to the prophet, a direct result of their ignoring God's law. His optimistic vision would have evoked a mixed response in their hearts. On the one hand, the fortunes of Jerusalem would one day be restored. The temple would become a well-known centre of worship and learning. Yahweh and the law would be revered as they deserved. On the other hand, those flocking to the temple would be foreigners, and certainly not exclusively Jews. Thousands of years before Jesus of Nazareth was so much as a twinkle in Joseph or the Almighty's eye, long before St. Paul was to make his radical statement about Jews and Gentiles being one in Christ, there was a significant strand in Judaism which recognized that Yahweh's concern was for the whole world, all of its people, not just one nation or tribe. Isaiah's vision is for sharing. He's saying very clearly to his own people that if you do not want the treasures of the law, there are plenty of others who will. And just as last week's reading from Matthew's Gospel did, today's is a reminder that the message of the good news is a universal one, not just for a select group of people. And Advent is a great opportunity to remind the world that what we do here, we want to share. But what is it that we want to share? I love the days of Advent. along with the days of Holy Week, the days of waiting and knowing what is to come, help me focus on my relationship with Jesus. His earthly beginning and end, bringing with him the reality of his humanity. Times when we can really connect with Jesus, the person, born as a tiny child to Mary, God coming to us as a human at its most vulnerable, fully reliant on those around him for his nurture and care. And then at the end, the agony of death, watched by the very same mother who brought him into the world. Christmas and Easter are the touching points for people with our faith. They are the very public times of celebration. They are the little bits of the story of Jesus that most people know about. Now, I know that I can be accused of being a bit of a Grinch around Christmas and my wariness of getting too Christmassy too soon. So if you were hoping for a Christmas carol today or even next week, I apologise now. But we will, of course, sing about the coming of Jesus. We've already done that this morning. But let's keep the carols nearer to Christmas, when they start to speak about the things we'll be thinking about on those Sundays. We are at the very beginning of Advent. We have a wee bit to go before we reach the stable. So it really makes no sense to sing about that quite yet. Time enough for Christmas carols. And over the Christmas season, and I've counted, we will sing 21 different carols, and some of them several times. But for now, we enter Advent. Now, according to Christianity.com, the word Advent is derived from the Latin word Aventus, meaning coming, which is the translation of the Greek word parousia. Scholars believe that during the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January feast of Epiphany, the celebration of God's incarnation represented by the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus, his baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and his first miracle at Cana. During the season of preparation, Christians would spend 40 days in penance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for the celebration. Originally, there was little connection between Advent and Christmas. Now, just to reassure you, I'm not advocating a return to this. I really am not the Grinch I've been accused of by my family. But I would advocate for finding time in Advent to experience the waiting and to prepare afresh to welcome the Christ child. If the word Advent can be translated as coming, then what we do in the weeks of Advent is look forward with anticipation to the coming of our Lord Jesus. The word come, or words to that effect, appear around 1,462 times in the Bible. There are essentially three ways in which it is used. First is to talk about the past, the coming of God to earth in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And then the future, the coming of God at the end of history in the second coming. And then the present. God comes to us daily for people who have eyes of faith to see. Advent is all about the first, the past, but it's also so much about the present too. Edward Marquardt, one of my favourite sermon writers, in this passage beautifully describes God coming to earth in the person of Jesus. And he writes this: "The greatest story ever told is of God's coming to earth as a baby. The coming of God from the far distances of heaven. God far, far, far out into the horizons of time and history. The true God coming closer and closer and closer and closer to Mother Earth, and then clearer and clearer and clearer, and finally really present in the Christ child. God came down the stairway of the stars with a baby in his arms, from the very top step of the heavenly staircase, so very far away. And God came down and down and down and down and round and round and round, closer and closer and closer and nearer and nearer and nearer to you and me with a baby. The final stops with the Christ child. And finally, he stops with the Christ child in his arms before you and me. And we look into his arms and see the face of the Christ child. And God comes to us. We clearly see the fullness of God in the person of Jesus. Isn't that just a beautiful description? That God chose to do so using a young girl called Mary from a humble background, not to some high-powered, rich family. No, God came to us via Mary. Edward goes on to say, Jesus grew to be a man and taught something that people had never heard before. What are the two greatest commandments, the two universal commandments for all people of all races, of all centuries, all religions? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbour as yourself. And who is your neighbour? Fellow Christian? Fellow member of our congregation? Our small group? Our friends? No. The neighbour is none other than another human being of a different religion, a different culture, an enemy culture, a person who's been robbed and left for dead on the Jericho Road. We are invited to love that person. Then he continues at the end of his life, when Jesus was being taunted and crucified on a cross, he called out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The nearer we come to Jesus, the nearer we are to God, the God of infinite, gracious forgiveness towards people who don't even ask. The topping and tailing of Jesus' earthly life by Edward invites us to consider what this means for the here and the now. How can we in Advent 2019 invite others into the greatest story ever told and help them see how it will make any difference to their lives? That sounds terribly like evangelism. And that scares the heck out of most of us. And yet Advent makes it so easy. So easy, in fact, it should take little effort. How about we start with ourselves and thinking about how we respond to the greatest story ever told? At the beginning of the service, we sang a new song about God's Christmas light, and we sang, in the darkness, sharing God's Christmas light, shining through us, sharing God's Christmas light, in our smile and in our welcome, in the ways that we make people feel, in our gifts and in our thank yous, in the moments we make Christmas real. And so it went on. And this song will feature every Sunday this month. So although new to us today, it will be an old familiar come Christmas morning. A simple little song it may be, but it does talk about how we can be a light to God's Christmas light, how we can evangelize the greatest story ever told. How we are really shines a light into our faith that then is reflected onto others. Are we the kind of people who take things in stride, our stride, who bring peace to a room, who spread kindness and compassion to those we meet? Or are we the kind of people who get angry at every little thing, complaining constantly? The kind of people whose company others prefer to avoid, who enter a room and the mood turns instantly tense or anxious or hostile? And that sounds harsh, but it really is important, because like it or not, people see us and our lives reflect on how they then view our faith, this thing called Christianity. Taking this a step further and thinking wider, it seems to me that we are the ones who are responsible for being light in our world. If our world is one where injustice and violence and oppression and suffering thrive, at this time of year when we look forward to something better, we have to ask ourselves whether we are contributing to that suffering or whether we are contributing to the peace that God is bringing into the world. Ouch. And I just told you Advent and evangelizing would be easy. Well, if it were, it will be. Well, it will be, sorry, if we enter Advent with a spirit of generosity and kindness, and above all, seek to find hope in all that we do. The first candle in our Advent ring traditionally represents hope, hope reborn at Christmas. And our reading from Isaiah this morning is a reading of hope. It looks to a time when things will be different, a time when Yahweh will settle disputes between great nations, and they will hammer their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. In a world where there are so many tipping points of conflict and ongoing wars, this has got to be a message of hope for us all. The coming of Jesus is an opportunity for us to live in this hope and to walk in the light which the Lord gives. And far from being Grinch-like in our approach to Advent and then Christmas, we can choose to be people who shine the light of God in what we do and in what we say. Thinking about events in recent days, I want to share with you now a reflection written for today by the very Reverend Susan Brown, former moderator of the Church of Scotland. And Susan kindly shared this among her colleagues for passing on. It's a wee reflection based on our reading this morning. Isaiah's vision of swords being turned into ploughshares and spears into pruning hooks, implements of war becoming tools to grow and to cultivate. It sounds amazing. But Isaiah lived about 800 years before Christ, and this is now 2019 years after Christ. And what has changed? There may not be as many swords around these days, but there are plenty of guns and of knives. Think of the events on London Bridge on Friday, and in The Hague the same day. And that's before you get into all the heavyweight armaments. It seems we human beings never learn. Does this mean we just have to live with our far from perfect society? This is the first Sunday in Advent, and day one of the Advent calendar counting down to Christmas. Christmas is about peace and goodwill being brought to every human being. The angels sang about it when the shepherds were in the fields, remember? And it was the baby born in the stable who gave that peace and goodwill a face and a voice. The man the baby became called those who dared to follow him, to follow him on a pathway through life where peace was lived out, freely shared, and never given up on. We are called to do the same, to live peace, to share it, and never give up on it. So, shalom, peace be with you. I want to invite you now to turn to the person next to you, and just as we often do on a communion Sunday, share a sign of peace with them, a handshake, a hug, whatever you're most comfortable with, depending on who's sitting next to you. Peace be with you. It always turns into a rami, doesn't it? It's great. It's lovely. This Advent, let us choose to walk in peace and in the light of the Lord. The blacksmith is going to be busy. It takes white hot fire and strength to hammer metal, to transform weapons of war into tools. The blacksmith is going to be very busy. It takes practice, skill to convert swords into sharp ploughshares that will turn the earth and enable the seed to be planted and grow. And we are going to be busy too. God is calling us to walk in the light, to consider our calling. It takes hope and determination to turn from the paths that lead to waste and destruction. It takes insight and courage to prune our lives from that which is harmful and walk in the ways of justice and peace. We wait for the day of God's coming, but there are some things that we do not need to wait for. We can walk in the light right now. We wait for the days of peace to come, but we do not need to wait to change our own behaviour. It is time to turn round. We can choose as communities and we can choose as individuals to walk in God's way today. Amen. We continue in our worship, this time through our offering. Let us pray. God of promise and fulfillment, you have given us hope that how things are is not how they always need to be. You have given us a vision of this world and human lives transformed for good. We offer these our gifts and ourselves in the name of Jesus, who lived and died and rose again to make that vision real. Amen. We sing again, this time our hymn is 712. What shall we pray for those who died? Hymn 712.
Thank you.
let's turn to God this time in our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Living God, in this season when we look forward to the coming of the Prince of Peace, we cannot avoid thinking about the many conflicts tearing the world apart that you love. Families and nations divided, Christians and Muslims and Jews wasting time fighting each other and among themselves when they should be loving the world in your name. God, whose peace is of a different order from any that we can imagine or create, heal the conflicts in our own hearts and lives, we pray, so that we may become agents of your peace in the world. In this season of listening for the word of life, the eternal word, becoming a living, breathing, vulnerable human child, we cannot help but be aware of all that is a threat to life, and not just human life, in this world that you love. Global warming, illegal hunting, deforestation, contamination of air, land, and sea. God who said, let it be, and there was. God whose word prompted all life to begin, may we whose life is your gift to us not be the cause of its ending in these days of encroaching darkness as we wait for the light of the world to burst in upon us again, making everything clear. We have to admit that we are afraid of what the light may reveal. Our complicity in all that has gone wrong in our churches and in our world, our actions and our failures to act, our silence when we should have been speaking, our speaking when you needed us to listen. God, whose light shone out in the dawn of creation and which has never been extinguished, may your light shine on us and in us, through us and in spite of us, bringing hope to the world and glory to your name. Amen. Our closing hymn is 715, Behold the Mountain of the Lord, heaven 715.
Thank you.
Advent, God, on this cusp may we be found hoping, and may such hope continue to transform us. And we leave here with the love of God with us always.